I've been very blessed by some thoughts from the book of Ruth. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you this afternoon. The background to the book of Ruth is that it's the time when there was no king in Israel and the judges were ruling Israel. It was a time that was dominated by apostasy. There were wars, there were fractions, there was unrest, and there was judgment. And in the backdrop of all this, actually the last verse in Judges 21 and verse 25, it says this: there was no king.
Sorry, carry on.
There was no king in Israel, and all the people did what was right in their own eyes. And in the backdrop of that atmosphere, there is the story of Ruth. And Ruth is all about our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. It's a picture of Jesus Christ and his wonderful, faithful love for every one of us. And here we see that Ruth experienced that wonderful love and Naomi in a time of famine and a time of apostasy and hardship in the nation. Sorry, Daniel, I'll do a section at a time. In chapter 1 of Ruth, we read about Elimelech. Elimelech, his wife Ruth, Naomi, and their two children, Mahlon and Chilion. Elimelech and Naomi and the two sons lived in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was called, its name meant the house of bread. The house of bread. They were in a land where there should be plenty, but the land was in famine. Why was it in famine? The last few verses that I read to you in Judges 21, every man did what was right in his own eyes. They had turned away from God. The nation said, "We don't need you, God." They turned God out. And then wondered why everything started to go wrong. There's a picture emerging here in our nation and in America. Our nations are saying, "God, we don't need you. We can do without you. We don't need you in our schools." And we wonder why things are going wrong. Israel was in the same situation. Elimelech's name meant, "My God is king." Naomi's name meant pleasant. Their two sons, Mahlon's name meant sick, and Chilion's name meant pining. And looking at those four names, that tells me something. Elimelech's parents knew God. They had a personal relationship with God. Hence, she called Elimelech, "My God is king." But Elimelech had no personal relationship with God. So much so that when things went wrong, Elimelech didn't ask God. He didn't know God sufficiently to trust him. The only thing he could do was what seemed best to him. And so he decided to leave Israel and he would go to the land of Moab. And the land of Moab was the enemy of Israel. And we subsequently read that within 10 years, Elimelech was dead. His sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were dead. It went disastrously wrong for Elimelech. And there's a lesson here for us. We as God's children are living in the land of plenty. We are exceedingly abundantly blessed. If we're not living in that fullness, then we cannot be looking to God. God has said that he will be our abundant provider in every area of our life. If you remember the story of Isaac, Abraham's son, he lived in Israel at a time of famine. He didn't run to the enemy. He didn't leave the land. He asked God, "What do I do? We have no money. We have no harvest. My mind says, that my natural man says, go in search of food. Even if that means going into the land of the enemy." But Isaac, like his father Abraham, believed God. Isaac was a man of faith, and he knew that his answer and that his supply was in God. He knew God was the source of his supply. So he asked God, "What do I do?" And God says, "Go sow your seed." "What, God? In this barren ground? Don't you know, God, that we've not had any rain? It's rock hard, this ground. This is the most foolish thing to do. God, it doesn't make sense." Let me tell you now, one thing you need to know now and remember forever. God says, "For my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Don't ever move or be moved by what you see. Paul says, "The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Now, so we know we've got to move by what God says and not what this says. God is the source of our every need. And we read in the story of Isaac, he sowed in famine, at the most ridiculous thing naturally to do, and he reaped a thousandfold. Is that my God? Have we got a God of abundance? When everything looks dark, when the situation is impossible, don't be discouraged. Ask God. Believe God. Do what he tells you. And having done everything, stand. And when nothing looks any different, stand. And when it takes an age, stand. And when you've waited 17 and a half years, stand. Okay? We are not moved by what we see. We are moved by the word of God. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things." Okay, all us over 50s, "so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He heals all my diseases. He forgives all my iniquities. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen. That's my God. Woo! That's my God. I just want to touch quickly on the rest of the story of Naomi. After all the disaster that Naomi and the family went through, Naomi heard that there was food again in Israel. And so she decided she was going back home. She was going to the house of bread, Bethlehem. Her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Ruth and Orpah set off with her. But Naomi was full of bitterness. The whole of her situation had made her bitter. She was blaming God for all that had happened to her. She had lost her faith, and she couldn't see God in all of this. And she became a very rejected and bitter person. She turned to her sister, her daughter-in-laws, and she said to Orpah and to Ruth, "Leave me, I want to be alone. Go back to your families. Go and remarry. Don't come with me, I have nothing to offer you." She was looking so naturally at everything. She couldn't see God. Orpah followed her mother-in-law's advice and went back. Oprah's name means stubbornness. The world is very stubborn. It stubbornly refuses to believe God. It stubbornly wants to make you bow down to what it thinks. Stubbornly says, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. It stubbornly laughs at you and mocks you. It thinks you're stupid. But the world's going to see that they're wrong. Our God is greater than the world. When Naomi, who had said, don't call me Naomi, don't call me pleasant anymore, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. And she said to Ruth, you must turn back. But Ruth was working with covenant love. She was a Moabitess. At that point, she was not a child of God. But God was obviously working through her. And this was Ruth's answer to her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 1. Verses 16 to 18. I'll read it first and then Daniel can read it after me in Nepalese. So Naomi said in verse 15, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death departs. Sorry, if even death parts me from you. If that's not covenant love, where you go, I go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. And where I die, when you die, that's where I shall die. I shall stay with you till death. Even that's the only thing that will part us, death. That is a covenant relationship. That is a relationship that a man and wife has. That says there's only death going to part us. God put us together. Ruth had a different concept completely to Orpah. Orpah was like the world. I haven't got time for you. Naomi was not an easy woman to love at that point. When somebody is bitter and rejected, they are not easy to love. The rejected person wants to push everyone away. They've been hurt so much, they're afraid of being hurt again. They're trying to protect themselves. Not a good place to be in. But Ruth was determined to stay with Naomi. She felt Naomi's rejection. She felt her hurt. She wanted to stay alongside Naomi to protect her. To give her some stability and to give her some love. She wanted to bring healing to Naomi. Isn't that God wants to do with us? And shouldn't that be our reaction? We need to reflect God's love. Well, as the story goes on, they came back to Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. Now, the barley harvest time was April. And in Israel, that was the feast of Passover. Nothing is by accident in God's economy. For this is a story of Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. And it's very significant that Naomi and Ruth came back at the feast of Passover. Because at that time, at the feast of Passover, Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. God was also, he was already beginning to prepare the people. And as we read it, looking back, we can see the importance of the time they arrived in Israel. Jesus refers to the new covenant as the time of harvest because it was a natural time of harvest and it was a spiritual time of harvest. The story goes on that Naomi said to Ruth, go and glean in one of the fields, get some food, we need food. Ruth didn't know where to go, but she went and she was gleaning unbeknown to her in the field of Boaz. Boaz's name meant, in him is strength. She went into Boaz's field and she gleaned. What they used to do, they would follow the reapers, and anything that fell by the wayside she could pick up. And she'd started very, very early in the morning, and she was working until midday. She hadn't stopped, she hadn't eaten, she hadn't had anything to drink. And I could imagine it was a very hot atmosphere. But she wasn't moaning, she wasn't complaining. She was diligently working out of love for her mother-in-law. At midday, Boaz came into his field. This was not by accident. And he noticed Ruth. And he asked, who is this lady gleaning? And they said to her, this is Ruth. She's the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And immediately Boaz knew all about her, because all the good things she had done, word had spread throughout Bethlehem. Never had they seen such love. It shone out. She had a beautiful testimony of her faithfulness to her mother-in-law. So Boaz went across to Ruth and he said to her, my daughter, I've heard of the good things that you have done. You're welcome to glean in my field. But first, you must come aside and rest. He said, let's go and have something to eat. So Boaz was very kind to her and he gave her bread and wine. That being symbolic of the bread. Here our kinsman redeemer is breaking bread. He's breaking covenant. He's cutting covenant with her. Boaz instructed Ruth to stay in his field. Don't go straying into another man's field. While you stay in my field, you will have food, you will have water, you will be protected. I promise you, you are safe here. And Ruth stayed there. And Boaz was very kind to her. And she went home with an abundance. Because she was faithful. Boaz was faithful. Our God is faithful. We don't need to go looking in any other man's field. We don't need to go to the world system. We don't need to look anywhere beyond. We don't need to look beyond God. Everything we need is within us. He is within us. He has given us everything that we need. The end of the story is that Ruth and Boaz were married. He wanted to redeem Ruth. He wanted to marry Ruth. But he wasn't her first in line. The Eastern tradition was, where the husband died, the nearest relative was offered the opportunity to marry the widow, to bear children, and to keep their inheritance going. Boaz wanted to do this, but he wasn't Ruth's nearest kinsman. There was one more relative before him. So being an elder of the city, Boaz went down to the gate of the city. And who was there
at the city gate?
But the nearest relative. Not by chance, God had orchestrated it all. Boaz said to the nearest relative, Ruth and Naomi have an inheritance. They have a field to sell. As the nearest relative, you have the first refusal. Will you buy Naomi's field? So the nearest relative said, of course I will. Delighted to do this. And then Boaz said, but you also have to marry Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was not of Israel. Immediately, the nearest relative said, no, I will jeopardize my own inheritance if I take Naomi and Ruth. When you look back, we were under the law, and the law could not redeem us. The law was our nearest kinsman. until Jesus Christ came as our kinsman redeemer. Our Boaz came because the law could not redeem us. The law could not buy us back. The law could not place us where God wanted us to be as his family in that relationship. We couldn't keep the law. It was impossible, just as it was impossible here. Sorry, Dan. Yeah. The law couldn't do it. The law of Moses couldn't do it. When we were without hope and lost, Jesus Christ, our Boaz, the great Redeemer, my Redeemer, he came and gave his life that I might be set free. What a wonderful picture. The gospel here in the story of Ruth and Naomi. And here we have Jesus our Redeemer, and we are the church, his bride. Oh, no. Ruth, as we've said, was a Moabitess. But Ruth and Boaz, after they married, they had a son, and they called him Obed. And Obed was the grandfather of David, King David. And David was the line, the royal line of Jesus Christ. And what I forgot to mention is Boaz's mother was Rahab the prostitute. You know, the Gentiles all came in. Ruth was not of Israel. Neither were we. In the line of Christ was Jew and Gentile. And the bride of Christ is the Gentile race. What a wonderful, wonderful story. How blessed we are. So let me tell you, don't go looking in another man's field. Ruth didn't go looking for younger men. She didn't go looking for the best looking kid on the block. She stayed with Boaz, who was faithful and true, and a great rewarder, and a great blessing to her. The line was continued, the family line, and Naomi had the privilege of nursing her grandson. How everyone was blessed. God will do the same for us. Go with God. Stay with God. Listen to God. Go with the unseen and reap the harvest. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. A good word. It's not where you've come from.
No.
It's where you're going. It's not about your history. About your future. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's all right, be fine. Wonderful, isn't it, what Jesus can do for us?
Yes.
A few verses from a psalm came to me. That's Psalm 37.
Amen.
And verse 22 says, For those who bless by him will inherit the land.
Thank you.
We're going to inherit the land. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to inherit the land.
Yes.
But those cursed by him will be cut off. But I love this next verse. The steps of a good man are established by the Lord.
Yes.
And he, God, delights in his way.
Amen.
When we fall, we shall not be cast down. Because the Lord is the one who holds our hand. Verse 25 says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. It's a promise from God to us.
Yeah.
We stay in relationship with the Lord Jesus, stay in relationship with God. He'll always be with you. He'll never leave you. And everything will go forward for you, and you will receive blessing after blessing after blessing. God wants to bless his children. And it's not about your past that he's interested in, but it's your future. I'm a person without a past.
Amen.
When we were born again, our past was done away with. And we've just got the future in front of us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, you know, just believe God to do a great work in your life and expect signs, wonders and miracles for the future. Glory to Jesus. We serve a good God. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you for that word. I hope you've learned something, and I believe you've been encouraged. I have some sheets to give out, and it says on here, you like that, that services start on the 7th of September at 3 o'clock at All Saints Church, Evelyn Avenue,
Evelyn
Doncaster.
Avenue, Intake, Doncaster, ma.
17 and a half years we've been waiting. We've been standing firm. And when we've done all of that, we stood. And we kept on working and doing what God wants us to do. We didn't keep looking back and say, when. We kept on saying, we're going. Hallelujah. We're going. We've got things to do, so we've got to keep going. Getting ready. We're moving. When something's moving, it's easy to steer it where it wants to go. But when it's stood in one place, you have to give it a big shove. But when it's moving forward steadily, you just move it that way and it just moves easily. Never stop listening. Never stop moving forward for God. He's going to do great things to every one of us, from the youngest through to
the oldest,
wherever that be. God has got promises for you, things for you to fulfill, and God has got things for you to do. You believe that? Glory to God.
So
I'm going to give out these leaflets. Also, it says on the very bottom of the leaflet, we require helpers. For Wednesday the 3rd of September, we shall be moving equipment. Now, it's not just the speakers and the things that you see out now. Is it four cupboards? We have four big steel cupboards in the back of the church, which we shall have to empty, load into a van, and then take across to the church. We also need to start cleaning it again. I was in there a few days ago, and the spiders has already invaded the place again. Okay. Cobweb. We need to go in and we need to clean. So on the 3rd of September, at 6 o'clock, we shall be meeting at the church. And we're going to... I want to clean in teams. Are you sending your mum a blessing? Sweeping, things need cleaning. It's a big building. We won't do it all in one night. The grass needs cutting. There may be wild animals in it the way it's going at the moment. So, if you can see us at the end of the service and tell us if you're going to be available, and we'll take your names. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah? Amen. Is that good? And for folk that have just started with us in the fellowship, there is a form here. And just to fill in your name, address, email, your birthday, etc. So if you take one of these and fill in your details and give it back to... Where's she got? Oh, she's there. Yeah, that's true. We have to... when we move into this new building, we're going to have to register. We need to know who's it going to be in the building and etc. and all our contacts. So if you could all fill this in, and then we make sure that we've got everybody's details. Everything is up to date. And we can make sure we've got everything sorted out for the legal side that we've had to fill various forms in. Did you get all that?
Yeah.
Amen. And Amen. Finally, South Africa. We're planning to go out and get involved and build a nursery out in South Africa.
South Africa, man.
And the project is called Sobona.
And it's project name is Sobona, Banirbanir.
Which means I see you. We have some wristbands here, and we're selling these to help raise finance for the work that we're going to be involved in. Initially, we need to be finding about £40,000. When we move into the new building, during the early stages, we shall take up an offering towards that work so we can go out and do a work out there. It will be part of our harvest of giving our tithes to the Lord into another work. Yeah. And we shall be sowing seeds out in South Africa. Amen. And we shall expect to see a harvest in Doncaster. Souls being won to Jesus. Yeah. Families coming into the kingdom of God. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe as we sow these seeds, we shall see an increase, and we'll give Him all the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we're going to take our tithes and offering.